Good evening, and welcome to The Backstory. My name's Tim Waters, and as a volunteer for Longmont Public Media, I have the good fortune of hosting The Backstory, which is an opportunity to share with Longmonters stories about topics of interest that you won't get a chance to read about in the newspaper or the local news sources. And tonight, by the way, this is a live program. This is the first of our backstories that we've done in studio with a live studio audience, and our audience is going to have a chance to ask questions, and with live guests tonight, who I'll introduce in just a moment. So if you're watching this tonight, it's May 19th, it's coming to you live with all of the risks of live television, so we'll see how that goes. If you're not watching tonight, you're going to watch this as a recording. You won't have a chance to call in and ask questions at some later day. But tonight, the topic is focused on one of Longmont's greatest assets, NextLight, really a differentiator for Longmont. What differentiates Longmont from so many other communities is our municipally owned internet service provider. And to tell the story of Longmont tonight is Valerie Dodd, the executive director of NextLight, Dennis Pappas, our network director. And by the way, I have a couple of cameras going. You can look right out there for your camera. I'm looking at this one over here. And Brian Kavanaugh, who is the founder and co-CEO of Streamwise. And part of the fun part of this story, we're going to talk about where we've come from, where we are, and where we're headed. And Streamwise is a big part of that story. So welcome to our guests. Welcome to the studio audience. And let's get started. Valerie, I'm going to ask you to get it going.
Awesome.
To the degree that you want to talk about yourselves, your backgrounds, kind of what brought you to the work, I'll leave that to you, right?
Absolutely.
But really, you're the one who gets us started talking about what is the backstory. Where did we come from with NextLight? How did we get here?
Yeah, I will refrain from talking about myself, because if I said I had 30 years experience in the business, I'd sound kind of old. So I won't say that, but I do. And so really, in terms of NextLight, the backstory is probably longer than you think. So NextLight is going to be celebrating its 8th birthday this year. But the concept for fiber internet really began back in 1996. So that was when you had PRPA and LPC getting together saying it'd be really cool.
Who are PRPA and LPC?
So Platte River Power Authority and Longmont Power and Communications. And so those two entities got together and said, wow, it'd be neat to connect all of our electric substations with a fiber ring. So they created the fiber ring. This was about the time that internet really started cranking and people started understanding what fiber internet was about. And so it got the community really excited. So city leaders partnered with the company and said, hey, we want help building the business case and the network plan to deploy a fiber-based broadband service. Unfortunately, that company went belly up. And also, unfortunately, as we and other municipalities around the country are really starting to talk about building their own internet because maybe they didn't have the speeds that they wanted, then what happened is you had the competition wake up. So the sleeping giant, maybe a cable operator that you might think of, and some telcos and other companies, started getting in front of legislators. And next thing you know, Colorado legislators passed Senate Bill 152, which said municipalities really can't get into the telecom space, the cable TV space, the internet space. So that was very frustrating. So we have Senate Bill 152 now in our way. So we decided, well, we can overturn it. It's got to go to a local ballot. And so we're going to take it to the voters and we'll try to get that repealed so that we can control our own destiny. Well, what happened as soon as we take it to a local ballot vote, another one of those large cable companies spends several hundred thousand dollars providing information to the community that might have been confusing and maybe I'll leave it at that. And so what happened is the vote did not repeal Senate Bill 152. I think voters got scared. They didn't understand what was happening.
This was a local, this was our opportunity.
It was our opportunity.
Just like de-taborizing, we got a chance to D-152.
Right, exactly. And there just wasn't enough information, and I think people got scared about their tax dollars and what was going to happen. And I think that's, you know, was the intent of the competitor. They didn't want us dipping into their revenue stream. So next thing you know, you've got Google going into the fiber internet business. And so Google was searching to find a city to be the first gig city in the country. There were 1,100 applicants, of which Longmont was one, and Longmont was on the very short list, which is super cool. So they ended up choosing Kansas City, so they did not come here, as you all well know, but what did happen is it woke people up, and it said, wow, it got people salivating at the idea of having a fiber-based solution here. So next time we take it to the ballot, guess what? It wins overwhelmingly. So that really did pave the way for Nextlight, and in 2014, we put a shovel in the ground the first of the year, and by the end of the year, we had customers in service.
So talk, given that history, mm-hmm. you put shovels in the ground with a mission, right? Mm-hmm. Both a mission and a vision for yeah. what Nextlight was yeah. and could become. Talk about both mission and vision.
One thing is, we don't want to be like everybody else. That's one thing. But the vision really is a fully connected Longmont. It doesn't mean we're going to just select areas with high density or areas with certain demographics. We're going to really make sure that every single household and premise and business in the community has access to a world of possibilities, and they're empowered to really live and function really well in this digital age. And so that's the vision, is really we want everyone connected. It's not about profitability. Dennis and I have worked in places, maybe one of those competitors, where it was about profitability, and there were plenty of houses you didn't choose to build to or didn't pass the business case. Everything passes. We don't do a business case. We're here for the purpose of making sure everyone has a fiber connection, and fiber is, you know, the state of the art, the way to go. Dennis can talk about that in a few minutes. But
so Nextlight operates within the context of the city as a nonprofit. You have to worry about shareholders and Wall Street and those kinds of things.
We worry about connections. And then the other thing that I think that we do, and that's part of our daily mission, is making sure that our customer experience is exceptional. We know that people sometimes need help with technology. It doesn't come easy for everyone. We're there 7 days a week to provide technical support for people. We have Spanish language technicians and customer service reps. We're truly trying to make sure that we're helping everyone in our community get online.
Drill down a little bit more on accessibility. Yeah. What are you doing to ensure that all Longmonters or right. everyone within the catchment area, mm-hmm. within the service area, has access?
Yeah, because really accessibility is everything. And it's like, you know, if we're talking about connections, it's got to be accessible. And to me, accessibility is two things. It's physical access, and two, it's affordability. So in terms of physical access, Dennis and his team work every day to make sure every apartment, every duplex, every quadplex, every mobile home park, every neighborhood is turned up with fiber. So accessibility, first and foremost, is getting that fiber to every location. And then second of all, it's really making sure that there are live bodies for people. You can come down the street, you can find a live rep, English speaking, Spanish speaking, someone that'll be really patient with you and explain some of our services. We have after hours payment, so that if you don't work a traditional hour or traditional 9-to-5 job, well, I don't know who does that anymore, but you can just certainly come down and make a cash payment. If you only want to deal in cash, that's great with us. We just want to be really accommodating. And so that's the accessibility piece from a physical perspective. And then from the affordability perspective, we have very competitive, excellent rates for those that can afford a traditional gigabit service for $69. But we also recognize not everyone can, and really it's about equity, not necessarily equality. And so even before the pandemic and before the federal government came out with some subsidies, we Nextlight created a program called Sharing the Nextlight, whereby families that were participating maybe in a free and reduced lunch program, they could sign up and they could get free internet at their homes, because we wanted to make sure, and I think this is one of your big things, is no child gets left behind. And it's really important that early childhood development happens and occurs, and really, you know, access to the digital world is part of that. So now we went from having the Sharing the Next Light program, then we realized, well, that's still a little bit confining to people with students at home. Well, then the pandemic hit, and as soon as the pandemic hit, we all went home. Well, guess what? Not everyone has a connection or, you know, got to go home to a connected home. So we quickly introduced some discounted pricing, and we had a $15 internet offer. So that was great. We sold hundreds of those very quickly. Fortunately, it was a year ago, I believe, in 2021, when the FCC kind of caught up and said, you know what, we need to further enable this. And so they gave subsidies up to $50 per household for internet connections, which we were already doing, you know, the $25 discount, but now what this meant is that families, regardless of children at home and supported by the federal government, not locally, could get free internet. Also at that time, I'm really proud to say, as we had all these people at home, we took our 25 meg entry-level offer and we said, we're going to quadruple it. So with no cost, no added cost to any of our customers, we started offering 100 meg symmetrical, which cable does not do. So it's 100 meg up and 100 meg down. So that's really important if you're on a video call in a, you know, video classroom or what have you. So we've done a number of things to ensure affordability. Lastly, the FCC changed their program. They went from an emergency broadband benefit program, EBB, to ACP, which is Affordable Connectivity Program. They lowered their subsidy from $50 down to $30. But we said, you know what, I'm not going to start charging these people internet. So we are absorbing that within our budget, and so we are adding a $10 to $20 subsidy depending if they get 100 meg or 1 gigabit service for $20. So we think we've done our part in terms of access and affordability.
All right, some of those letters, the EBB and the ACC, well, hopefully the viewers will know what all that meant.
Yes.
I won't press you on it. So.
Yes.
Do you have any idea, as I sit here, I don't know how many municipally owned or internet service providers there are in the United States.
It's a good question. I should know that, and it's probably in the 20 to 40 range.
Yeah, it's not many, given the number of cities.
It's not a lot, but it's growing rapidly.
Well, we know that there are municipalities in Colorado that have wanted to try to hook on to what we're doing, and we have some now that are creating their own. But it has been a differentiator. We know we have businesses that, part of our economic development efforts, people who come to Longmont because of utility rates, what we've done with water, and their access to low-cost, high-reliability, fastest-in-the-world internet service. Mm-hmm. So, in fact, those data, those facts, have resulted in featuring Nextlight in a documentary.
Yes.
Talk a little bit about the documentary that people will have a chance to see.
Well, it's funny because when I took the job and I knew how great what Longmont was doing was, but the phone rings a lot. A lot of people from around the country are asking questions, and so, in fact, that's how I met Brian, is he called to do an interview with me for a blog that he writes, and I was like, we need to continue this conversation. But anyway, phone rings once again, and it's a producer from a show called Dennis Quaid's Viewpoint, and it's a mini-documentary format, and Dennis Quaid uses that platform to go find social issues to educate people about various things, if it's equity, inclusion, digital divide, and that was what they were calling us about. So clearly they said, we want to do a story on digital divide. They did a little research, and guess who kept popping up? Longmont. So we got the phone call, which was super cool. So we worked with their producers, unfortunately not Dennis Quaid himself, but with the producers, and created a 5-minute documentary that's really nice. It kind of tells our story and some of the things I just talked about in terms of the access piece of it. Dr. Haddad at the St. Vrain Valley School District, the superintendent, he spoke on the behalf of the network that we built for the school system many years back, and how they wouldn't be functioning, you know, without the affordable, fantastic, reliable network we built. And then, of course, our city manager, you know, Harold Dominguez, was featured in that and did a great job telling the story and the vision for us. So really exciting that we created this mini documentary. It's airing in about 5 different media markets in the next month or so, and then it will be distributed to, I think, 170 public TV stations in the country to run, you know, indefinitely, to tell the story and to show other cities that, again, you can control your own destiny.
So you wanted Dennis Quaid and you got Tim Waters. I'm so sorry about that. Where would Longmonters have a chance to see this?
We will be posting that on our website. I'm sure that we'll be partnering with Longmont Public Media to get it produced and published as well. So we'll make sure it's out. But if you were happen to be watching CNN, MSNBC, Headline News, Fox News, really over the next couple of weeks, you're very likely to see the 5-minute video.
I will look for it. And yeah. is there a title that we ought to be particularly?
Viewpoint with Dennis Quaid.
And then on with Next Light as the focus.
Yes.
Streamwise Solutions, I'm sure, will be bringing that out to Next Light customers
excellent.
Too.
Excellent.
Right. We're going to get a chance to learn more about that, how we access it through you. So what's this? How have you got? What's the scale right now of the rollout? Are you getting? How many customers do you have? Are you where you want to be in terms of numbers?
We far exceeded the business case or the feasibility study. We've been really fortunate that we have, and part of it, I really do credit to LPC, Longmont Power and Communication, because they've done a good job for 100 years providing highly reliable, very affordable electric service. So I think the city has demonstrated, and through your leadership, has demonstrated a commitment to the community, and there was a real sense of trust. And so I think the adoption came quickly. Also, we have a superior product in the market. And so I think we originally looked at penetration rates in the ballpark of 35%, and we're around 60% now. So it's exceptional, but it's never high enough. I hate that other people are suffering with other services when they could have our fiber-fest internet.
So a 60% take rate results in some revenues that would have exceeded what your estimates were originally. And we're in the process of servicing debt. The city authorized creating some debt to pay for the cost of this. So is this a good time to talk about revenues and how you're using them, especially in terms of debt service?
Yeah, I'm happy to. So we took a bond out, and we will have no issue paying the bond back by 2029. So we are exceeding our customer count, which equates to revenue for the most part. We have over 25,000 customers, and right now we have about an annual revenue of about $20 million. So that's on average about $66 per customer, including business customers and including some of those subsidized customers. So the trajectory looks really favorable. And once we start paying down that debt, you know, which is almost $5 million a year, that's cash. And then that cash is, you know, what do we do with that next? Yeah. And we reinvest that back in the community. That's another reason it makes me, I feel challenged and excited to get the remaining customers on with us because their dollars will stay in the community.
Well, I want to come back to that because this is about where we've come from, where we are, and what to anticipate. And what to anticipate is what we're going to do with those dollars, and that's where Streamwise comes in and some of the other, I know, aspects of the vision. But I'm going to give you a chance to take a deep breath. And Dennis, I'm going to ask you now to pick this up. Where are we in terms of the build-out of the infrastructure, right, that needs to be out there if we wanted to get to 100% take rate for everybody in Longmont?
You know, of the 45,000 living units in Longmont, we've built out to about 95% of them. And so we're nearing the finish line on the build-out. I say that, but then realize, you know, we continue to annex land now on the north side of 66 where we don't have a presence.
Yeah.
We have plans to poke under 66 and get our fiber over there so we can start serving the MDUs that are going in there and some of the other subdivisions that are over there that haven't had our service in the past. So our real focus is just trying to keep up with the growth. There are some trailer parks, some MDUs in town that have exclusive marketing agreements with and charge, and companies get door fees, so we haven't been able to get into those. There's been some action taken by the FCC in the past this year, and we expect to see some relief to where folks that even live in those the trailer parks and the apartment complexes are going to have a choice now on who they want for their broadband provider.
So an MDU would be a multifamily dwelling.
Multi-dwelling unit, correct, is what MDU is.
And I know we've heard a lot from residents in multifamily housing projects or developments. Their difficulty, their disappointment that they can't get access or connected to Next Light. So what should they know now going forward?
I think what they should know is soon there'll be some relief and they will be able to come to us and ask for us to provide service. A great example, not that we were blocked from getting in there, but Grandview Meadows, which is over by Silver Creek High School, we were able to do a build into that development in 2021, about mid-year. And we're against two competitors there, formidable. And in a very short period of time with very little marketing, we almost have a third of the residents there already on the network, on the NextLike network.
Yeah, great. So we hear a lot about the reasons why people might want to be take advantage of the opportunity mm-hmm. to access NextLike. Part of that speed. So talk about the speed of this network and what people can actually access and take advantage of.
Well, as it's advertised and we've been recognized in PC Magazine, we're a gig city. And we provide symmetrical 1 gig service to every one of our customers. We have 3 different paths out of Longmont. So that from a redundancy standpoint, if something were to happen catastrophic along one of the paths on I-25, there would be, within milliseconds, the network switches over. We have our traffic spread amongst all 3 of those paths. If any one gets hit, we have the capacity on the other 2 to so that nobody will notice any difference in their viewing, you know, whatever they're viewing. I think more than the gig service, though, and Valerie touched on it very briefly, is the fact that we're local. And it's just not that, you know, we say we're local, you're going to talk to someone here, but the technicians weren't people that have been in this business like me, and I'll go ahead and state my time for 40 years I've been in this business. You know, we have technicians that were plumbers and garage door installers and gentlemen that worked in the oil fields and all this stuff, so they really grew up learning this network and knowing this network. And they all live in the community. So really, you know, if you have an issue, we had an issue with a customer, I believe it was over the weekend on Sunday, and we were out there and we took care of it. Our response time is amazing. And we receive, it's so nice to live in a community where we receive kudos for what you do. And the stories, you know, happen weekly where, you know, we talk about, we had a young man that just started with us. And he was recognized for just how pleasant he was. He helped a person, you know, make sure that all their equipment was installed and working correctly and the networking was done. So I think it's that local piece and the pride that all of our technicians and our CSRs and our TSRs, which are kind of our technical service reps and our customer service reps, take in helping our customers.
So you mentioned not just on the west side of town, but I'm certain in other places, the 2 competitors you have.
Yes.
Can you talk about the differences in working with NextLike from those competitors in terms of some of the features you've just described? What's possible or available through NextLike that a customer wouldn't experience with your competitors?
There are now some upgrades being done in town from some of our competitors that will get you a gig service, but it's not symmetrical. It's asymmetrical, which means you have a higher upload speed than you do the download speeds. The calling, when you call in a case of trouble with our competitors, you're not speaking with anybody local. And chances are the time frame in which somebody's going to be out there is at least overnight, the next day, if not a couple days.
We don't have call centers in around the world.
So I came from one of the competitors,
yeah.
And our call center was in the Philippines. And it was very, from a technician standpoint, it was very frustrating.
Yeah.
And we understood what was going on, so I can't imagine from a customer standpoint how frustrating it had to be for them.
Well, and I know just enough about your background to know you all came out of that world, right,
be
kind of doing what you're doing now. So you really have
all
firsthand practical
yeah.
experience with those differences.
Yeah.
You mentioned reliability. And high reliability is critical, redundancies that are required to achieve that. And my guess is, if I started mentioning nines, you would say we are 5 nines.
We're
reliable.
Five nines.
So you might talk about what that means and how do you get there and maintain that.
5 nines means that our service is up 99.999% of the time. And we measure that basically just on the report rate that we have. So to give you an example, other competitors in the marketplace run probably a 3 to 5% report rate, which means that's how many case of troubles they have per 1,000 lines is 5%. Ours is a 0.9%. Fiber is a very reliable medium. Copper, electricity, electrical influence, water, damages. We have about 15% of our plant here in Longmont that's aerial. Squirrels wreak havoc with that aerial plant. We have an initiative underway right now where we're starting to replace the aerial plant with either armored cable. They can't chew through it, or it takes them a lot longer to chew through it. Or we're going to start burying some of that aerial line that has been damaged multiple times.
Yeah. Well, we expect 5.9 reliability when it comes to water, electricity, right? We the lights to go on every time.
Yeah.
And to have that kind of reliability with internet services critical, right? And not common, I think, for most users.
Yes.
So we're clear right now what your service areas. You mentioned burrowing under or drilling under 66, and we won't get into discussions about annexation tonight. We'll save that for another time. But assuming there will be your service area will grow, what is your vision for how large the service area becomes? Are you going to stay inside? Is there a definition, a boundary for what you'll serve? Would you serve outside of that, whatever that boundary is right now?
Per the bond, it says that we serve within Longmont and within the power footprint, LPC footprint, which opens up for us hygiene. It opens up Lyons to a certain degree, I think most of Lyons. My plan is so there are six phases, the way the network was built around the city. Most of those phases are in substations. We just built phase 7, which is at the county line substation. We're doing a test today. It's a pretty exciting day around the place. We have our first 10-gig customer. We don't know how much demand there's going to be for that service, but there is some need from a day trader, gamer standpoint for the 10-gig service, and we installed our first one today. So I really see us going west. I think there's also some other opportunities to do some partnering. We've invested a lot of money in a device to help curtail DOS attacks. They're attacks that somebody can launch on your internet service to slow it down. And it was expensive, to the tune of probably close to $1 million. They have these scrubbers that scrub the data and everything. Fort Collins, Loveland, Estes Park, there's really no need for them to make the investment in a tool like that. So we're working with them to see maybe if we can transport all their traffic and run it through our scrubbers and then ship it back to them. I think, frankly, there's the same capability for our friends that are under the interstate to the east here in Frederick and Firestone. They don't have to invest in all the back office expenses that we had to invest in. We could do dispatching for them. We could do billing for them. We could be a call center. We just opened up a network operations center, a NOC. It's over at the at our building over here on Sherman Street. We could even take calls for them into our network operations center, which is a 24/7 network operations center.
So to do that kind of expansion, is there new technology, emerging technologies? What would be required technologically speaking to do that kind of extend your reach in ways you're describing?
So I got here 2.5 years ago, I think, roughly. We've really set the table to have the technology already in place and the capacity that we needed to do exactly what I'm talking about today. So without much more additional expense, we can do everything that I want to do and I see us doing in the next few years.
So with what Dennis is describing in terms of capability, capacity right now, back to Valerie, are there other services that Nextlight is prepared to offer in addition to access to a great big pipe, right? The bandwidth that an internet service provider makes available. What else?
Yeah, certainly, because I think of it as the foundational, fundamental thing you do is you put the big pipe in. We kind of call it a big, fat, dumb pipe. and it's not this big, it's this big. So, but I would hate to say, our internet's this, you know.
We understand fiber's really small.
It is very small. Glass is like hair, it's tiny. Yeah. And so we've got the high capacity pipe into the household, and we call it dumb because it's just connectivity. We want to make that a smart tool. We want people to be able to fully connect their home, all of their devices, have a smart thermostat that knows when to turn the AC on, when to turn it off. It manages your electric consumption. So it really helps people be smarter and also wiser about how they spend their money. And so we really think that there's an opportunity to expand within the household. Other services that we offer today, and I'll include the TV component, is so certainly we offer 100 meg symmetrical and a gig symmetrical internet. Then we have digital phone, which is sort of a hybrid between a VoIP phone and between a traditional landline. But it gives you the security for those people that want the security, the backup, they need a medical alert. It's a wonderful option for them. And then we've recently, kind of concurrent with the new streaming and antenna TV services, we rolled out what's called Wi-Fi 6, which is the latest technology for Wi-Fi. And some people get confused between Wi-Fi and internet. You know, internet is kind of your connection to your home. Wi-Fi is the router which propagates that signal throughout your house. And so this latest technology, and Brian, you know, will speak to it, is phenomenal. And so now you just have one little router and it might hit, you know, two stories of your home or the backyard or the far reaches of, you know, someone's bedroom. So that's really a cool thing, this new Wi-Fi 6 technology. So we love that. And then really we're realizing to help people and to get people off their dependency of cable and maybe dish or a satellite type service, then it's like we need to help them. And so I want to make sure, again, that we are helping the community get connected to all of the services they need and making that big down pipe really usable for them. And so the next obvious step for us was we need help helping people cut the cord. It's really a dynamic business in the entertainment, which is also kind of a word for TV business, because it's changing constantly. We can't manage that. That's not our core competency, and we want to stick with our core competency, which really is mostly the fiber piece. So that's when really Brian and Streamwise Solutions came in and filled a void for us. It's not for everybody. A lot of people have already, you know, switched and cut the cable cord or kicked the dish or whatever it may be. But we find it to be a really valuable partnership. And I've never seen a partner as committed to the customer as we are. And the results in the survey show that. So we're really excited and proud of that partnership.
All right. Well, we're going
to... I was going to add one other thing about a partnership. We are doing an LTE wireless build in partnership with St. Vrain.
LTE.
Yeah, LTE, which is...
Which is? Oh, I didn't mean to. I was trying to test you.
But it's an unlicensed spectrum. It's a wireless type of service that we're doing. There's about 4,200 students in Longmont that are on the free and reduced lunch program. A lot do not have access to internet service. Again, you know, it could be in those apartment complexes that have marketing agreements and stuff. So we are setting up a wireless network that these students will be able to access with jetpacks that the school district is going to provide to them, and they'll be able to get on our network wirelessly and, again, have a free service so that they can access their schoolwork.
So it makes it more ubiquitous.
You bet.
And accessible.
Yes.
Where we're pivoting now, we've heard the backstory. We've kind of learned about where we came from, where we are. Now we're talking about where we're headed, and you've made this pivot. And Brian Kavanaugh, you're part of that future. So you came out of the same background and now have co-founded something called Streamwise.
Yep.
Talk about what Streamwise is, how it becomes kind of a custom TV service.
Yeah, I mean, we have a lot of the same background coming from kind of big corporate telecom and TV, and we saw a lot of the things that were broken and needed to be fixed. I'm the founder and co-CEO of Streamwise Solutions, so... Obviously, I'd seen a lot of what was going on there and realized that there was just a lot of either misinformation or lack of information. So that's why I created Streamwise Solutions, was to, you know, be able to help people out, really, at the end of the day. At a high level, I mean, what we're all about is getting the best, least expensive, most flexible TV solution. And really, you know, we have the traditional cable and satellite thing that's been going on for way too long, and people are obviously frustrated with it by looking at some of the NPS scores and things that are happening there over the years. But for us, it's more about there's this change happening. You know, just the first quarter of this year alone, 2 million people have cut the cord from cable and satellite. You know, it's just obviously steamrolling and getting worse and worse. The problem is, though, it's really confusing for a lot of folks. They're not techie. They're just busy. They don't have time to kind of figure it all out. So that's really where we come in is you know, to fit that space.
I should have mentioned for those who are viewing tonight and may watch this as a recording, you're not quite a native son. I think you shared that your family moved to the area when you were 1 year old.
Yep. And
were raised in Longmont. You're not a resident now, but you've come home to do this work. So.
Yeah, I spent basically about half my life here in Longmont, so
welcome
near and dear to my heart, for sure.
So let's now then drill down on how is StreamWise as a solution different from cable options or satellite? A little more specifics.
Sure. So we're not a service provider. So really, at the end of the day, we're not somebody you're going to, like a traditional cable and satellite, and saying, hey, here's my 200 channels a month for $200 a month. That model's broken, and we believe it's broken at least, and I think obviously 2 million people in the first quarter of 2022 think it's broken too. So what we're about is we can get you the same channels, we can get you the same services, DVR, HD, you know, whatever you need. We just do it in a different fashion where we're bringing together a lot of different things, whether that's over-the-air antennas, whether that's streaming. Mm-hmm. Obviously, the Nextlight partnership makes a lot of sense because we're helping people and we both have the same mindset there. But it also brings in a lot of things like high-speed internet and having like Wi-Fi 6 technology to be able to bridge the, not just the digital divide, but also just bridge kind of those confusing points and the fail points that really people run into when they're trying to cut their cord themselves and, you know, DIY it and have it be fail and be frustrating and difficult to use. So, you know, we do a lot of different things kind of related to TV and internet and all that stuff. And we're more of like a white glove type of service where you just sit back and relax and all that stress of trying to figure out where my cable channels are and is this going to work? Is it going to be easy to use? That's what we do because we've been doing it for 11 years.
Yeah, and what I really love about it is I don't think people understand this whole antenna TV thing. It's no longer that giant, ugly thing. Again, I'm showing my age with the giant TV antenna. Because now the antenna is really small. You put it on your rooftop, and you pay for the antenna, you pay for the installation, and you get 60-plus channels free into perpetuity. It is over the air. It is just capturing that TV signal. So people that just want to say, I'm going to spend my couple hundred dollars and I'm done, I'm not paying for TV, that's a wonderful solution. So I love that piece of it. And then I personally said, okay, I want you to come to my house. I'm too busy. I need help cutting the cord. I've been a satellite TV subscriber for a long time, and they came in, they put my Wi-Fi routers in my house, they tested the signal to make sure it was reaching throughout the home and, you know, would get to my televisions as well as, you know, if I'm in the backyard on my laptop. And then they helped me set up, you know, my Amazon Fire Stick, and it was just really easy. And then I get YouTube TV because I get local channels, and it was very custom to what I needed. And here are the channels I want to watch, Brian. Tell me what I need, and he told me exactly what I need.
So somebody who wants to get Brian or somebody from his installation team to come to their house, so they call you? Or
they call us, and then we will set up an appointment with them. Yeah, we're handling the billing for that because we're trying to own the customer relationship, and then they are just really kind of a terrific partner behind the scenes.
So are there other services? Have we described or presented the bundle of services that you make available?
Yeah, I mean, good question, Tim. So basically, I kind of look at it as there's two sources for TV, really, in the world of cord cutting. There's the over-the-air HD antenna setup, which that's going to get you, you know, all your major local networks, every single Broncos game, all the major sporting events, all the major, really, events, the Grammys, the Oscars, whatever, all the top network shows. So really the most expensive, most watched shows, ironically, are totally free and better HD quality off of an antenna. A lot of people make the mistake of buying the little cheap indoor antennas, and they don't work, and they're breaking up. And, you know, we never install indoor antennas. We never will, because we're really all about, that's why we got nothing but five-star reviews, is just do it right the first time. So it'll be rock solid and actually better than what they pay for with cable and satellite. So that's kind of one option, and that's like your base for TV maybe, and, you know, maybe for a third of NextLight customers, that's all they need. And then the other side of the equation is more of the second source for TV, which is streaming. And obviously that uses a backbone, which is having, you know, NextLight internet is obviously incredible compared to some of the other competitive offers out there that really aren't competitive because they're more expensive and they don't work as good, you know, so it's kind of a no-brainer to kind of pair those two together.
Can I make an appointment for you to come to my house?
You haven't already? I haven't done my job.
But anyway, streaming is where you obviously get things like Netflix and Amazon Prime and Hulu and things like this, which to me are game changers. People are realizing like, hey, I'm paying $10, $15 a month to Netflix and I'm watching that 80% of the time, and then I'm paying, you know, $200 a month for this big gigantic bundle of TV stuff over here to cable and satellite, and I watch that like 10, 20% of the time. Like, why am I doing that? And that's what we help people obviously transition across. And it's not just things like that, but you can actually get any cable channel you want. So literally, you could get any cable channel you want via streaming for a lot less money, no contract. So you're in control. Again, it's that flexibility, no contract, do what you want, when you want, and real competition. So to clarify, too, we're not a service provider. We actually just recommend what is best for the customer. I know it's a really crazy concept. But it's not the 200-channel bundle. We're not shoving something down your throat that you don't need. We're having a consultation up front and then actually saying, hey, this matches best for you. Just an option. You can do whatever you want, but we'll put it all together for you. You know, do everything you need to get it.
So it sounds like you're part of the portfolio of what gets offered. You're the service provider.
Yeah.
And what you're offering includes this combination of
right. We call it custom TV solutions because it is different for every single person. They really enable what people want, and they disable all of that stuff that's been a burden and that has annual rate hikes and all those other things and probably not great customer service. Yeah.
So if somebody hasn't or thinks they shouldn't call you, they get access to Brian or his installer. What kinds of challenges or problems do they typically experience?
Well, if you're saying people that are kind of cutting the cord themselves and DIY,
I want to do this on my own.
Yeah, I mean, and that's certainly, we actually support that. Like, we're here to help in any respect. We have a lot of resources on our website, you know, on Streamwise Solutions. We have a monthly blog that we you know, go out to. Again, how Valerie and I met in the first place. But at the end of the day, yeah, there is a lot of different challenges. You know, a lot of people do the indoor antenna thing and they're like, oh, it doesn't work. They give up and they go back to paying for cable and satellite. A lot of people set up a lot of piecemeal different things and different solutions, and they have 10 remotes and they're changing inputs and they're frustrated and it's difficult to use. You know, then they go back to paying for cable and satellite. A lot of people can't find the channels they want, or maybe they're stacking things. So we actually were talking about that earlier before we were on air of, you know, you stack this, you stack that, you stack this, and then you're paying more than you're paying for cable and satellite. That makes no sense, right?
Put me in that car.
Yeah. So for us, like, we've been doing this for 11, probably longer than anybody else in the country, quite frankly. We're experts at it. So we know all those little pitfalls and, you know, how to get around them and not have to even deal with them in the first place. And, you know, really the other thing, too, is we're taking someone's bundle, let's say $200 a month with the old cable bundle, and we're chopping it down with our partners with NextLight to, you know, $40 to $70 a month, worst case scenario. And then you're adding on zero for TV, zero if you want a DVR, zero if you want extra TV. So it's not the cable and satellite game where they nickel and dime you with, oh, you want a DVR, it's another $10 a month. You want, you know, so it's really enabling people to put money back in their pockets and do what they want when they want with no contracts and just choose. And it's putting money back into the city of Longmont, really, at the end of the day.
So is there a typical kind of storyline for your customers when it comes to the use of Streamwise that you could characterize? People have found their way into this and they make the call. What's the feedback you're getting from folks?
I'll brag for you, if you are so humble. Because that was an important thing, that they were, as I mentioned earlier, equally committed to the customer experience. And so part of our contract with them is to maintain that level. So they do what's called a Net Promoter Score customer satisfaction survey. Cable, on average, runs, I think, around 5 or 10 for that score. Some companies are negative number. They're in the 95 range in terms of customer satisfaction. Customers are so thrilled. You're saving them money. They're so nice. They spend as much time as they need to with them. And so I just find that customers are saving money. They feel like they were well cared for, and they've made a smart decision. And so that's my, yeah.
Thank you. Yeah, I mean, much appreciated. I mean, that honestly, when I founded the business, I kind of took everything that I had seen with the big corporate TV and telecom thing, and I said, you know what? We need to do the exact opposite, because mm-hmm. it makes no sense to me. Why are people paying $200 a month mm-hmm. for somebody they complain about every month? Like, it's ludicrous, really. Like, there is no, it's because they don't have options and because they don't have the information they need to be able to make the decision and kind of make that change, which is really what we set up, is we want to be not only the enabler, but we also want to just not just talk about customer service, but truly like be customer service.
So you've been doing kind of an R&D approach for a while. Some of us have heard about this new partner, Streamwise, you know, and what might be coming, you know, as we move forward. All this is available today.
Yeah.
You've been testing this for a while, right? So when did you start with experimenting, kind of iterating into where we are right now?
So we started last summer, I think it was July, when we really started getting things going. And we did a little bit of a teaser campaign with some bus shelter advertising and things to just sort of pique the curiosity of the marketplace. And we had some really good, obvious pent-up demand. And so we had a lot of customers in the beginning. And we continue to get a lot of customers. It's one of those things where it's hard to keep in front of people. It's hard to break through all of the noise and to say, no, really, we can simplify your life and reduce your bills. You know, and then it's, you know, the power of inertia and, you know, body, you know, sitting there, it's like, oh my gosh, I don't have the energy and the time to go change. But it's worth it because it saves them money. And then, you know, like I said, in some instances, you have free TV for life. But we're continuing the partnership. We're working on a big marketing campaign right now. So every time we, you know, put some marketing into the marketplace, we see a spike in sales. So we're still trying to figure out what's the perfect media mix and message. And part of why we're here tonight is we really want to tell our story, because we know it will help people. And we're really proud of what we're doing.
Well, that's part of what we're doing with the backstory, right?
Yeah.
It is all storytelling.
Yeah, if I could add to that too, Tim, I mean, the thing that we've seen over the years, because we've been doing this for 11, 12 years now, is people have been burned so much from switching from cable to satellite back to cable again that you put a message out there and people are like, oh, yeah, it's the same thing I've been told for years. Well, actually, what we're doing is totally different. We're the anti-cable and satellite company, so what we're doing is totally different, but it takes a while to kind of bridge those gaps. I mean, that's part of the reason we kind of have the process that we have, which is you can schedule a free consultation. We'll just give you all the information you need. We'll tell you exactly how much you're going to save every month from your old bundle. We'll tell you exactly how much your one-time cost is, exactly how much you're paying every month, and obviously all the free options. And hey, if you want to go do it yourself, that's great. If you need help, you know, because you're too busy, because you're not techie, whatever it is, you want to make sure you're getting everything right, not paying, overpaying for stuff, mm-hmm. making it easy to use, then that's where we step in. So it's a pretty open process, and we don't just install the hardware, we actually go out and literally demo people how to use it, you know, because some of this is pretty new for some people. We actually support it. We have a bunch of online help videos. You know, we have a monthly newsletter, you know, that just talks about new services and way to save money, stuff like that. So it's kind of like point A to point Z, and it's more of a white glove type of process too, because that's what people needed to be able to make that, get the information, understand, and get real information, unbiased information, because we just want to give you the information to make your best decision. We don't have any skin in the game.
Yeah.
And then they can make the best decision for themselves.
So in terms of where we're headed, this is, we've heard about digital phones now, and the Wi-Fi 6, right, is an opportunity. Custom TV services. We will be approaching relatively soon in terms of lifetimes, I guess. The retirement of the debt. You're going to have $5 million a year, at least.
At least.
As we grow and you continue to generate revenues from new customers, mm-hmm. you're going to be able to invest in the community and Nextlight services going forward. Talk about that vision. What should people anticipate in terms of what's coming when you have more capital to spend?
Right. And for one, you know, we owe it to you all to provide that vision, but I also want to make clear that we represent what the community wants and needs. It's hard to fully understand what that's going to be, but there are a number of options what we could do with that that newfound cash. You know, it could be we decide to reduce rates. Have you ever seen a broadband provider reduce rates? We could do that. We could perhaps build an innovation center. We could do an education learning center. I mean, there's so many. It's almost countless. I mean, the ideas that we could do, and we'll certainly try to do some research in the marketplace to understand how people really want us to reinvest the dollars that they voted and approved to spend.
Yeah.
And so I think that's the thing. But we, you know, I think we'll spend a lot of time trying to create that vision. But there's, a lot of fun things. I mean, it could be a park. It could be a sports arena. It could be, you know, whatever the community needs and wants us to do, but we look forward to that day. And, you know that we're not skimping. Dennis is spending, you know, the adequate amount of money to ensure that the network is reliable into perpetuity. So I feel really confident that we're spending a lot of money now and up front, and that we're just going to continue to build a little margin. We're not for profit, but those dollars will go back in, you know, to funds to benefit the community.
Yeah, well, nonprofit doesn't mean you don't generate margins.
Yeah.
It's what you do with them.
Exactly
that differentiates a profit from a nonprofit.
Yes, thank you.
Some of that input from the community, it sounds like you're going to continue to listen to the community. Mm-hmm. We could start tonight.
That'd be awesome.
We have a studio audience here.
I love it.
And I'm guessing some of them have questions.
So,
before our hour is up, anybody in the audience want to ask a question? Yes, ma'am. And I'll repeat the question so folks in here.
I have a question about the outdoor antenna.
Yeah.
How does the weather affect it? Is my TV going to go down? Going to go down because it's windy out.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's going to be 90, and then it's going to be 9, and we're having a foot of snow. So
the question for viewers was, tell me more about the outdoor antenna, and is it going to be subject to the consequences of severe weather? A question asked by someone like me who's gone out and knocked snow off your dish.
Yeah.
Go ahead now.
So that's actually a great question. We get that one quite a bit, ironically, and it's funny because it comes from the old cable and satellite world. So a satellite dish, again, we do what we do and use what we use for a reason. It's cupped. So just by design, the wind hits it, it's going to have issues, the snow sticks to it. So then you, not only are you wasting $200 a month, but then you're frustrated because you're pixelating and you're having to go up there and brush it out all the time. Our antenna that we use, it's literally about a quarter of the size of that, but it's not cupped at all. So we never, ever, I've not gotten one call in 11, 12 years, hey, it's not working because of the snow or the wind. So it seems crazy and counterintuitive because you're actually paying $0 a month for the rest of your life, and you're getting better HD quality, but it's actually also better reception, better service, so you won't have any of that pixelation issues or any of the getting the broom out, you know, getting up on your
ladder,
stuff like that.
And stop by the Civic Center. We have one on display at the Nextlight kiosk or booth, so you can go see one. It's really small.
And I recognize the hand back there, Shaquille.
So Comcast, the company, pays a franchise fee to the city in order to carry its lines across the city and in order to basically pay the city for the land and to provide service to the citizens of Longmont. Does Nextlight pay that same franchise fee? I know that franchise fee is used to fund things like the police department and Longmont Public Media. Shouldn't Nextlight be paying that fee as well?
Let me repeat the question. The city receives a franchise fee. When companies like Comcast get a contract with the city, it becomes, at the time, it becomes a contract without competitors, right? A service without competitors. They generate a fair amount of money, and the requirement of the FCC, as I recall, was that some of that money is going to get paid back to the city. It's a fee for the franchise. Each new customer generates a fee. The question is, why does not Nextlight pay a franchise fee just like Comcast does?
And I may need assistance with this one. It's a great question. And I would think it's because we're a city entity.
Yeah.
And so it's different. It's using city assets and it's a city, we're not, yeah, I'm trying to think.
But I thought you said at the beginning that you were a nonprofit owned by the city. That's not the same thing.
So the question was, is it a nonprofit owned by the city? I framed it that way as a nonprofit. It's a service center within the city. It's not unlike, I'll speak to the audience here. Mm-hmm. It's not unlike any of our enterprise operations or funds in the city, where we charge a fee for parks or for other activities. And that money is used to help maintain the operation. The golf fund, the parks, there's an enterprise fund in parks. There are others. Right. So
yeah, technically an enterprise fund.
Is there another question? I see a hand back there. Scott.
Hi, Scott Converse. Valerie, we talked before. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to ask you the question I asked you 3 or 4 years ago when you first started.
2.5 years ago, yeah.
When are we going to have a special program for nonprofit organizations in Longmont? From a pricing perspective, 5 or 6 years ago, I asked Tom Arbiolis the same question. He promised me he would have something back then. I have yet to see anything. What's the plan?
So the question that was asked is there a plan, and when might that plan occur, or the time occur, where nonprofit organizations get a different rate, a lower rate for access to our internet service provider?
Yeah, I appreciate the question. So the issue of nonprofit pricing has come up. We do obviously provide service to a number of nonprofits. And we're starting to really look into that and see if there's a discounted pricing, if there's an opportunity to do some type of service trade as well. So there's all kinds of options that we've just recently really started revisiting. So get back with me.
Stay tuned.
Stay tuned, please, Scott.
Keep asking the question. Any other questions?
Yes, sir. How many people have antennas now, and how much potential is there for that, for Brian?
This may be the last question we're going to run out to. How many antennas are out there now, and?
And what do they think is going to be the saturation?
How many might you actually deploy?
Penetration.
Yeah, so good question. I mean, if we're talking Longmont specifically, we basically just started July, August, so we haven't even been at this for a year. It's all more of an awareness thing, I would say, more than anything else. And we don't necessarily do antennas for everybody, so some people might make more sense just having a streaming-only solution, which is why we have the consultation up front. But I would say, really, all said and done, we've probably already installed a good, 300 antennas. Probably even a little bit more, actually, over, 9 months or so. Mm-hmm. So.
And it does work in this market. It doesn't work in every market where your coverage isn't great, but people are getting 60-plus channels.
Yeah, at least 60 to 80 channels. And most importantly, they're free, and you're not paying a dime. The other interesting thing, too, is we also have an arm of our business that works with MDUs, multi-dwelling units, where, like the suites, the LHA property, the suites down here in Longmont, we installed a master antenna. So instead of the city of Longmont and Longmont Housing Authority dropping $5,000 every month to pay Comcast, they're actually getting TV for $0 a month now. So every single resident in that building, 100, I think they had 120, 140 units, that one master antenna is providing, 80 channels to every single person in that building. And again, putting money back into the city of Longmont. So,
not a franchise fee, but a benefit.
Yes,
to the community.
Exactly.
All right, I have to say to you three, thank you so much for what you do every day for the city of Longmont. Thanks for giving up part of your evening to be part of this storytelling. To the studio audience, I want to say thanks for giving up part of your evening to be here. And for those of you who might have watched, thanks for tuning in. That, Longmonters, is your backstory on Next Light, where we've come from, where we are, and where we're headed.